what's your favorite movie?
That's a hard question, but gun to my head, it would probably be Fight Club, directed by David Fincher in 1999.
I don't quite have a favorite, but probably one of the movies on my top list would be Coraline.
I think my favorite movie is either The Shining or both volumes of Kill Bill.
Probably the new Spider-Man movie, the new one. That one was really good.
I can't really choose between these two. I'm going to say my two favorite are either Baby Driver or Inception.
When it comes to mine, probably Star Wars Episode 5 of Empire Strikes Back.
So why is it your favorite film?
Probably because there's so much action in it. And it stars. I mean, why? How could you not like Star Wars?
I'd say Inception is probably one of my top favorites, just because of how they told the story and how it's just, it looks so visually cool in some parts of the film. And for Baby Driver, it's just all the practical effects they used.
I like Spider-Man, and I believe that it was actually the first movie I ever saw in theaters as a kid.
I think The Shining is one of my favorite movies just because there's so much to it. Like, you could watch it 100 times and still find things out that you didn't last time, and that's really cool.
I want to say Coraline's probably one of my favorites because of how it was animated and how it was made, and I also like how twisted the story is.
I chose Fight Club for this particular instance because it's made with an astonishing, craft. I look at it from a technical perspective, but also had a lot of effective writing, especially in its twist. I'm not going to spoil that here. But I'd say everything about Fight Club just worked.
Do you think films make an impact on culture?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say films can be a pretty nuanced and effective way to explore pretty complicated issues, although that definitely does depend on the film. Like, obviously, Star Wars is going to have a lot to offer on right and wrong, but it's not going to have a lot to offer on, what do we do about this specific political issue? Like, it's definitely depends on the film, and you kind of have to pick and choose what aspects of society it affects.
I think films do affect society, especially in meme culture. Definitely. Each film can give birth to a lot of new memes. In this day and age, that's kind of a big part of our culture.
I think it does because, there are some movies from the 1940s and 50s that were super sexist and super racist, but they're classics in a way. So I think it definitely shapes how we view things. And I think it's just interesting how with society changes, also movie changes.
Do you think films from other eras truthfully represent the time periods?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, probably because based on the stereotypes at that time, they wanted to make a movie that was from around that era, I guess. And they want to make something entertaining so people could like it and they could watch it over and over again.
I think for me it's hard to tell just because I wasn't born in those generations, so I can't say from personal experience that I know what it looked like back then. There has been a lot of movies that have done it really well. They've made it look like that era, but I mean, I can't tell. I wasn't there.
I think in an expansion on previous statements that they can explain, if the film was made in a particular decade, it can explain how we feel in that decade. But it also explains how we feel about previous decades if a movie from the 80s, Back to the Future, goes back to the 50s. It also kind of informs how we feel about that previous generation as well. So I think our real frame of reference is past, present, and future, and our views of the future will always be different than our views on the past. But to answer the question more specifically, I do think it does inform how we look at the previous two decades, past and present, more than anything else.
How important is diversity in films?
I think it's important depending on the film that's being made. If it's a period piece, you'd want very specific diversity in play depending on that time period. In modern day, yeah, I'd say it's important. I can't provide a more nuanced explanation than that.
Diversity in films here in 2019 is probably very important to other people. There are a lot of activists now in this decade, I wanted to say. And I think a lot of people want to see more diversity in films because there's not as much of it. That's not just racial diversity, it's cultural diversity, religious diversity.
I think in order to for a film to be realistic, it should have a lot of diversity, just because you can't have a film and base it in 2019 and just have like only white people, like white Christian people, because that's not what it is like in 2019.
I feel like diversity in movies is really, really important. I can't really think of too many examples right at the top of my head, but there are a really good amount of examples of, like, you know, whitewashing in film, where it's like someone from a different culture being represented by white people. I guess I can get why that happens, but it's also like, it's unrealistic. You to represent the culture by the people who are in that culture, and there are actors in that culture, so use those actors.
How can we promote representation in film?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, incentivized ways to do that, but I honestly am not an expert on that field, so I wouldn't know 100% for sure how we could do it, but I do think there are ways to do it.
I think through history we've been doing a lot better, definitely, because there isn't a lot of whitewashing anymore. There still is, but it's not as, like, often as it was. As far as having more representation, I don't know. I definitely think we are doing better as time goes on.
I guess I feel like the only way to have more diversity and representation in films nowadays is to open the door for those people to be involved. I'm trying not to open a can of worms here, but I feel like there's a like a surplus, or like there's more white people in film than there is any other like race or culture. And I feel like we just need to, I don't know, just I guess open the door, yeah.
Who's your favorite director? It can be yourself.
Oh, okay. There's like a few good ones, like Quentin Tarantino is one of them. Steven Spielberg is another one. J.J. Abrams is pretty good too.
I'm definitely gonna go with Steven Spielberg, of course. Christopher Nolan. Does anyone know who directed Baby Driver?
Edgar Wright.
Oh. He's up there as well.
As far as personal experience goes, definitely my friend Levi Taylor. He is amazing. He's here in Alaska, and he's one of my most favorite people I've ever worked with.
I think after seeing Get Out, probably Jordan Peele. He's probably one of my faves.
I watch a lot of different directors, but if I had to pick one, it would still be a three-way tie between Quentin Tarantino, Christopher Nolan, and Wes Anderson for their dialogue, presentation, and thematic material in the case of Nolan, and their immaculate framing and sense of auteurish. I'm not going to explain that word, but a sense of style.
What is your favorite film genre?
If we're talking favorite genre right now, it's probably superhero movies, which is kind of a low bar, but I do enjoy those movies. I do enjoy those movies, to be clear.
Yeah.
I think my favorite movie genre is suspense, just because if you do it right, it's so good. I think most of my favorite movies have all been suspense movies, as far as like most of what goes on, but that's definitely my favorite genre.
I was also going to say suspense and a little bit of fantasy, I guess.
I have like a three or four way tie here. Like I can't decide. I'm definitely have to go with comedy. I don't really know if this is like a name of a genre, but like those like visual effects, like mind bending movies. And also, even though I am a baby, I like psychological horror. Not necessarily like jump scare horror, but like that type of horror that messes with your head.
That too. Have it on the record that Daisy Carter also like mind-bending and like stuff like that.
Action, adventure, comedy, mystery, yeah, like suspense, thriller, probably romance comedy. There we go. Someone has to say it.
Very nice. So what is the film that you feel represents your childhood?
Probably definitely Toy Story, since, you know, I watch that all the time. You know, every time it ended when I was a kid, you know, I always started it back up again. To watch all
you're still
again.
Watching it today, aren't you? It's not a constant loop.
Yeah.
Escape.
Oh yeah. No.
Toy
never.
Stories forever.
Oh yeah.
For my childhood, definitely Monsters Inc. Like I think I broke a DVD player watching that movie. It's just I freaking adore that movie.
Any Disney movie, really? Probably specifically Tarzan. There was actually cases where I would go onto my windowsill and like jump off of them, just because I thought it was Tarzan. I would jump to the floor. Like, it was fine. I was fine.
How far away was the floor?
Like 30 feet.
No. Like, it would be...
Which floor? The
like,
ground.
It would be... Well, like, it would be carpet. Like, I was fine.
Did you do the Tarzan scream?
I did.
Can you do it for us now?
No, thank you. I'm going to have to do a hard pass on that.
I think the Goonies, just because I watched that, like, every weekend, and I wanted to be, like, every character in that movie. Except, like, Chubb, or whatever his name is. Chunk. That's it. I haven't watched it in a while, but definitely the Goonies.
Probably a tie with a lot of the things people said. Like, the first two Toy Story movies were my childhood, but I also really like any of the Pixar movies, really, with very few exceptions. Cars. If I'm, like, overall represents my childhood, probably the original Star Wars from 1977 my parents made me watch that I really enjoyed.
Why does everyone hate Cars? It's an okay movie. Anyone want to give their 2 cents?
Okay. I don't know why people hate Cars, because that used to be one of my favorite movies of all time.
It doesn't make any sense.
To be clear, I enjoyed parts of it, but it's just probably the weakest link in Pixar.
How do they get gas? Like, they just exist.
Stop. That's... They eat.
But how do the cars eat? But who woke that car up to drink the oil?
As much as I like Cars, I might need to contradict my own point and agree that it might be the weakest Pixar movie.
Look, obviously.
Yeah. Like, in terms of all of the movies they've made, Cars is probably the weakest series.
What is more important in filmmaking? Is it visuals or storytelling?
I think they're equally important, but because film is a visual medium, gun to my head, it'd have to be visual. But storytelling is very important, too.
I agree with that. I feel like it's kind of a 50-50 thing. Visuals are obviously what attracts people, and that's what's going to pull people in the most. But there also has to be a good story because, you know, no one wants to be falling asleep on an $11 movie that they paid for. But, I mean, I think visuals probably would be more of the upper hand in that.
Okay, well, I think that story is more important than visuals because it doesn't matter if they filmed up here majestically, but there's no story, or, like, the story's crap. I wouldn't consider that a good movie. I would definitely take a good story, but really bad visuals over really good visuals and a bad story.
You can have the flashiest, wackiest, darn visuals that the world's ever seen, but if you have a crappy script, it's not going to save your movie. Story comes first, and to me, it almost barely matters what you film on, as long as you can tell what's happening on screen, and you have a strategic way in pointing your camera, you can film on the phone, as long as your story is solid.
I guess it really depends on what it is, but, like, for me, I believe it is kind of the storytelling.
I guess I should say, if you're making an Avengers movie, that visuals does, in fact, matter more than story. So, I mean, it just depends what you're making.
What's a film cliche you're tired of seeing?
Bad guy about to get the hero, and the hero gets saved at the last minute. Not that I want him to die. I just think there are smarter ways to get him out of a jam rather than just, you know, the last possible second.
Did you see Megamind?
I did see Megamind, yeah. And to be clear, I did enjoy the movie, but, you know, that was one... At the time, I don't think I was tired of it. I guess if you look at it through the whole context, there are definitely smarter ways of doing so. Like, you can still get saved, like, at a moment, but, you know, last possible second, like, I think it can get tiresome after a while, and there are smarter ways to get the hero out of a jam.
Forced love triangles? I hate that more than anything. Oh, God. I just, why? Or, like, just, like, forced, like, oh, my goodness, the main guy likes the main girl. Oh, no, like, stop. Also explosions.
What? You don't like explosions?
It's okay. It's not that I don't like explosions. It's just that, like, if a building doesn't need to explode, don't make it explode. Just make it, like, collapse.
I have a couple. Here's one cliche I'm tired of. Car won't start / door won't open. Like, just, of course the car won't start right now when you need it. So, you know. Also, if there's an argument between friends, sometimes the reason they're arguing can be the most trivial crap in the world. So it's just like, choose a better argument. I don't know.
I think probably one of the most cliche things is when the man comes and saves the damsel in distress. I'm tired of that. If they're going to keep using that cliche, I'm not trying to start anything, but can they start using like gay couples or interracial couples or anything like that? Because it's getting tired. I'm tired of it. I'm so, so tired of it.
I think that they're starting to make strides towards that, and I'm really happy to see that.
In horror movies, black dude dies first. I'm really surprised that no one hasn't said that yet.
Especially like in like zombie movies, like The Walking Dead, where like, you know, there is that guy, and then like he dies, and then another one comes on.
I have another thing to add about horror movie cliche. Oh no, we're in a pretty bad situation. Let's split up. That'll improve our chances. Like what? Why?
I feel like someone's watching me.
Yeah, let's split up.
Divide maybe and conquer.
Yeah, exactly.
What is your favorite film cliche?
The good guy is good, and like he has some kind of troubling, like people think he's bad or whatever. Like he has a downfall, and like it takes a while for him to build up that character to be the good guy in the end.
So I like it when protagonists die because it's so unexpected, and I just really like it when things don't go the way that you think it's gonna go. Like with your example about like damsel in distress, or with like the good guy getting saved at the end, I'm actually writing a script where the good guy, you think he's about to like, oh yeah, he's about to prevail, but then he dies.
Self-referentiality, like that may seem like a broad blanket term, but when you're referencing the fact that you're using cliche, I think that itself will eventually become a cliche, as much as I love Deadpool.
Pretty close to Daisy's answer. If a character that's close to the protagonist or the protagonist dies, it's subverting your reaction of like the good guy prevails in the end. And like especially if it's done masterfully, like if you're following this side character for the like an entire series of a show and then just one point is just gone.
I remember, you guys can judge me, but in Teen Wolf, Allison, which is the main character's boyfriend, dies. I remember, like, my sister and I were just, like, crying, and, like, freaking out. But I just thought, like, when you said, like, when the second characters die, I just think that that's so, like, impactful. And in reality, like, you will remember that.
I think Joss Whedon summed character death up best by saying, everyone dies in real life, and the amount of people who die in my shows is not very many. He even says, like, my rep is so nasty because I do it unexpectedly, and that means I'm a good storyteller because I've made you care about this character, and then I killed him, and you were affected.
So does one person make an entire film or show unwatchable? With the Me Too movement, all of the people who are being called out, should their previous work, like, should we not watch their previous work? Or should we watch it because they're only one person and lots of, like, hundreds of other people worked on this as well?
To be clear, like, it depends on the actual quality of the work. I watched this Netflix original called Master of None, which is directed and starring a guy named Aziz Ansari, who has been accused in the Me Too movement, kind of. The show is still good and provides, you know, nuanced kind of social commentary outside of the Me Too movement, and towards the end, kind of within it. But I think the show itself is watchable, but not all shows are like that by some of the people. And The Usual Suspects I really enjoy, even though Kevin Spacey's a monster, so I think that's backing me into a corner, but it honestly depends on the actual quality of the work to begin with, if you can separate man from the art.
As a kid, I watched The Cosby Show a ton, and I loved it, and I can't watch it anymore. Before all that stuff was, like, brought to light, I loved that show. I think it kind of depends on, like, how big of a role they play in the whole production of it, just because if they were, like, director, producer, starring in it, like, all that stuff, then it might make it unwatchable, but I mean, especially for like victims and stuff, but from an outside perspective, I think it has to do with like how big of a role they played, but also like the quality of the work. I do think that it shouldn't just go by like unnoticed just because it's a good movie or TV show though.
I've been struggling with this for a while. And I think I've come to the conclusion that it depends on the medium or what it is that's being filmed. On one end of the spectrum, you have Kevin Spacey in Baby Driver. I love his character, and I still do, and I get mixed feelings about that myself. So I think maybe in this instance or in instances like it, when it comes to fictional movies, we might be able to separate the talent from the person. But when it comes to, like, say, Louis C.K., and his stand-up comedy, that's different because it's stemming from personal experience. I don't think that's something I can tolerate, and I don't think I've watched Louis C.K.'s comedy ever since I found out about that sort of thing. So there's a lot of gray areas to me.
When certain actors play a movie role, it's not them. Like, it's not their personality. It's not, like, who they are. That's a good way of, like, separating artists from art. But as far as comedians like Louis C.K., that's, like, his personality that he brings on stage. So separating his art, there isn't, the line is just a lot more faded.
So I think your original question was whether or not we should dismiss the entire work because one person...
Exactly.
One person should not bring down the quality of work that thousands of people did for millions of dollars. I feel like that shouldn't be possible, but I totally get everyone else's side of the issue, and I'm not negating that at all, but... personally, I feel like that's a lot of work that would go wasted because of one person.
I understand where you guys are coming from, but it's also, you have to think about that actor or actress, is that's something that they put their time into. Like, that's something that represents them. And if they've done something wrong to someone else and they've known that they did it, like they kept it a secret, why should we support that?
Does anyone have anything they want to say before we're done?
Just wanted to say, I guess, that I enjoyed hanging out with you guys. It's been a very fun, fun circle of hard questions. But I get the questions had to be hard. Like, it's kind of necessary to ask hard questions of people who have really strong opinions. I'd like to thank everyone for being here, even though it's not my job. So,
shout out to Alaska filmmakers. Go out and go to film festivals here in Alaska. Go support everyone.
This was a fun 1 hour. Like, it felt like much more than 1 hour.
It's been 45 minutes.
Oh, what? Like, see, it felt longer than that.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't know what I was doing when I first came here. And I thank you for that. Thank you for inviting me, Madison. I thought this was really nice to be able to think deeper, I guess, in a way, about movies. I don't usually do anything like this, and I thought this was a great conversation.
I don't want to be, like, you know, your cliche inspirational. I don't know. If there's anyone who, like, wants to make movies and they feel like they can't, just freaking do it. Just get your phone out and start filming. Like, there's literally nothing stopping you. Just, it's from me and Brendan's experience, just literally start filming random crap.
You gotta start somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You have to start somewhere.
Awesome sauce. Thank you for being here.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's a contract for the end of the podcast.
Thanks, guys.